Pastor John Randall makes this observation about the church today.
This is something that we see taking place even in the church today, a lack of a widespread revelation from God's word, because we're seeing that the church is being desensitized by the culture to the point that we are losing our ability to discern between what is right and what is wrong, what is acceptable in God's sight and what's an abomination in God's sight. And the church is just kind of, the lines have become blurred and God's people aren't seeing clearly. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons is because they're not looking through the lens of Scripture any longer.
Hello, friend. Glad to have you with us. This is a daily walk where you never have to walk alone. Pastor John Randall is in the early stages of a study of 1 Samuel, which contains wonderful lessons about life, leadership, and the Lord. We'll hear about God's calling on Samuel's life today and relate it to our own calling. Yes, the Lord has a plan and purpose for your life, and isn't that exciting? Let's be encouraged to grab hold of it and be faithful, even as young Samuel was. We'll begin in chapter 3.
Well, with that said, if you open up your Bibles with me now to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3. As we continue our study through the book of 1 Samuel, picking up tonight, chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, if you would follow along with me. Now, the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no widespread revelation. Even before he was born, the Lord had a plan and a purpose for Samuel. His mother's name was Hannah, and she was unable to get pregnant for many years. And the Bible tells us that it was actually the Lord that had closed her womb. And during that time of barrenness, Hannah pleaded with the Lord to bless her with a child. And in her time of intercession, she made a commitment to the Lord. And she had told the Lord that if he gave her a son, that she would dedicate his life to the service of the Lord. The Lord answered Hannah's prayer, and Samuel was born. And after he was weaned, Samuel was then presented to the Lord in Shiloh, to Eli the priest, where he was trained to eventually enter in to the service of the Lord. Every year, Hannah would go back and visit Samuel in Shiloh, and she would bring him new clothing to wear. The calling upon Samuel's life was something that he grew into. You may recall back in chapter 2 in verse 11 that it says, the child ministered to the Lord. Then in chapter 2 verse 18, it says, Samuel ministered before the Lord. Then in chapter 2 verse 21, it says, Samuel grew before the Lord. And then in 1 Samuel 2:26, it says, Samuel grew in stature and in favor both with the Lord and with man. And now, chapter 3, verse 1, the boy Samuel is ministering to the Lord. As Samuel was faithful with what the Lord had entrusted him, in the time that God had given him things to oversee and to look after, he learned to minister to the Lord. And in that process, he was actually being equipped, and God was going to give him more to do. But he was faithful with what he'd been given. And then in time, God would entrust more into his care. We'll see from this passage that there was a great need at this time in the nation for the word of the Lord. Because we read, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. Verse 2, and it came to pass that at that time, Eli was lying down in his place. And when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down. As Samuel was growing up, we find several things that come to the surface about the spiritual condition of the nation. First of all, make note of this, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There wasn't any clear revelation coming from the Lord to the people. They were still going through the religious motions, making their visitations to the tabernacle, offering their sacrifices and so forth, but there was no real revelation. And listen, the reason there was no revelation from the Lord is because the spiritual leadership, the priesthood, was corrupt. That was the problem. We read it in previous chapters that both Eli, as well as his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, it says concerning his sons, they didn't even know the Lord. And they were in the place of spiritual leadership, and they were taking advantage of the people when they were offering their sacrifices to the Lord, putting in their flesh hooks and robbing them, and ultimately robbing God. And if that weren't bad enough, they were committing sexual immorality by sleeping with the women who were actually coming to the tabernacle to present their sacrifices. Thus, the priesthood, the spiritual leadership, was caught up in immorality and idolatry. It's no wonder there was no widespread revelation from God. God's not speaking to these men. He's not revealing anything to them. There wasn't a difference between what was holy and what wasn't. Things simply went on like all was well. And in reality, things were not well at all. And listen, this is something that we see taking place even in the church today, a lack of a widespread revelation from God's word, because we're seeing that the church is being desensitized by the culture to the point that we are losing our ability to discern between what is right and what is wrong, what is acceptable in God's sight and what's an abomination in God's sight. And the church is just kind of, the lines have become blurred and God's people aren't seeing clearly. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons is because they're not looking through the lens of Scripture any longer. And culture is now telling us what to believe as opposed to God's word and Christ revealing to us what we are to believe. And we're just not seeing it. And some people have become so duped, they don't recognize it. And thus, it's no wonder we aren't seeing a widespread revelation or a widespread revival. The prophet Amos gave a warning. In Amos chapter 8, in verse 11, here's what he said. He said, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will send a famine on the land. And it's not a famine for bread, nor a thirst for water, but for the hearing of the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but they won't find it." Amos chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. There was a famine, not for bread, but for the word. And people are searching for it. Why can't I hear it? Where is it? I can't find it. Can I tell you, over the years, I've had many people come to me and say, after they've moved away or wherever, hey, it's been really hard for us to find a place that just simply teaches God's word. We're having a difficult time finding a location that actually we open the Bible and we actually go through it. And to me, it is just such a foreign concept. I don't know anything differently, but I feel for those people in those places where there is a famine for the word of God. It doesn't say there's a famine for entertainment. It doesn't say there's a famine for famous preachers. It doesn't say there's a famine for any of these tools that you could use, but there's a famine for the actual word of God. And that is why there is no revival and no widespread revelation. I think part of the reason is what Paul said to Timothy. You know this verse, 2 Timothy 4:3. Here's what it says. The time's going to come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll actually heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Do you know something? People love carnal preaching. Do you know why? Because it makes them comfortable in their sin. But they don't necessarily love convicting preaching, because that tells you to turn from your sin. And so the more carnal it is, the more the world says, "I love it, that is awesome." But the more God grieves over it and the church suffers as a result of it. Eli, he was lying down, and it's interesting that it points out he was almost blind. The older he got, physically speaking, he was losing his eyesight. But it was more than that. Spiritually, the man was going blind. The behavior to his son's behavior, who were taking advantage of the people. He was blinded by sin. He was no longer effective in ministry. He's just lying down. He's not doing anything. and he's going blind. In addition to the blindness on the part of the leadership, we read that the lamp, this is so descriptive. It says the lamp was almost out. Now, granted, it means this is the time of day, this is the time of night, the lamp is just about out, but I think it is also a description of what was going on in the nation spiritually. The lamp was just about out. The light was going out. There was a need for oil in that lamp. There was a need for something to illuminate once again. It's a picture of what was going on. Things were growing darker in that place where it was supposed to shine the brightest. And then the Lord called a man, a young man at that point, named Samuel. And it says, before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, here I am. And so he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he said, I didn't call you. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. He answered, I didn't call you, my son. Lie down again. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel a third time. And so he arose and he went to Eli and he said, here I am, for you did call me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must speak and say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went, lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Samuel was resting near the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant represents the throne of God on the earth, the Ten Commandments inside it, the mercy seat upon it. And there he was resting near the throne, as it were, resting in that place, at peace, content, lying down. And at this point, Samuel had never audibly heard the voice of the Lord yet. This was the first time that he had ever heard this. He was just the apprentice of Eli at this point and served alongside of him. But things were about to change in Samuel's life forever. The first time the call comes, he assumes it's got to be Eli. He runs. Second call, still, it's not Eli. Third time, finally, Eli remembers perhaps. You know, I remember when God used to call me. If he calls you again, this is what you're supposed to say. Speak, your servant is listening. I mean, he's supposed to respond to the call of God. When the Lord is placing a call upon your life, he may not recognize it right away. The Lord is so faithful to continue to make things clear, to continue to bring these things to our attention so that we would know that it's actually the Lord calling us. Three times the Lord called, and when God is calling us to do something for him or he's making something apparent to us, you can't really get away from it. He just keeps bringing it up, and he brings it up from different places and different angles, and you just get to this place, you realize, this has got to be the Lord. This isn't me, because sometimes you run through the process, think, okay, I just came up with that. That's me. What am I thinking? And then it comes up again. Well, it's still me. That couldn't be the Lord. Then it comes up again, and then it comes up again, and everywhere you look, it just points in that direction. You realize, okay, this has got to be the Lord. And Samuel comes to the realization that it was God that was actually calling him. And I love the fact that Samuel is listening, that his ears are open. And he was willing, when he heard it, to get up and respond. He was willing to do what was asked of him. You remember that Jesus, during his ministry, that he would often say, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. And it seemed like a strange thing for Jesus to say, but not everybody who has ears actually is in tune or listening to what the Lord is saying or responding when he calls. And so we find that he ends up responding to the call of God, and he hears what he has to say. Now in verse 10, you'll notice it says, now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. And notice for emphasis, Samuel. Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both the ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day, I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by the sacrifice or offering forever. So Samuel lay down until morning, opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell Eli his vision. The Lord comes and he reveals a difficult word to Samuel, one that perhaps he wasn't expecting to hear. And he reveals to Samuel what he had already told Eli in advance, and that was this: he was going to be judged for his sins. Eli was unwilling to hold his sons accountable for what they were doing. And as a result, knowing what was going on and not doing anything about it, God held him responsible. And so he's about to receive the consequences for his sin. And God says, he already knows about it. I've already talked to him about it. I've already revealed it to him. Eli had honored his sons more than God, and therefore he was partaking in their sins. You can imagine, as Samuel lay down after hearing that message from the Lord, that's a difficult one, especially your first message from the Lord to receive. And so the next day, as Samuel, it says here, was afraid to tell him. It says, Samuel lay down until the morning, verse 15. He opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and he was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel, and he said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here I am. He said, what is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Do not hide it from me. God, do so to me, and more also, if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you. Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. The next day, as Samuel got up, Eli knew that the Lord had spoken to him. And he pressured Samuel, tell me what the Lord told you. Don't hold anything back. Whatever he revealed to you in the night, I need to hear it. You need to tell me. And although he was hesitant, he shared the message. There are certain aspects of life and ministry and within the calling of God that can be difficult, that aren't easy. Words that aren't easy to share. There are things that we would prefer to pass over and not say. Nevertheless, there are times when difficulties and challenges cannot be avoided. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. And although Samuel didn't ask to be given this kind of revelation, the Lord chose him, and he had the responsibility to step forward and to share what was difficult. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And so Samuel revealed to Eli what the Lord had told him, a painful, difficult message for him to bear. And it's worth noting that when Eli heard this, he just said, well, it's the Lord. Let him do whatever seems right. I'm surprised that Eli didn't say, you know what, I need to repent and get right with God. I need to respond to this. Perhaps he was so comfortable in that place, he just accepted the way that things were. He didn't respond. He just said, well, fine, if that's what's going to be, then that's what it's going to be. He doesn't even repent of it. He doesn't say, you know what, that's right. This is the second time God told me this, and I need to get right with him, and I need to kick my sons out of what they're doing. This is wrong. He doesn't respond at all. His heart is just brazen. It's just solidified. He's not listening any longer. His ears are closed. His eyes are not only closed, but so is his ears and so is his heart. And so God's judgment was about to fall. After this, we see that Samuel continued to grow before the Lord. It says in verse 19, so Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Samuel now continues to grow. This was a difficult thing for him to grow through. I mean, he could have said, you know what? I don't want to do the ministry. If this is what it's going to lead to, if this is where it ends up, I think I'm going to step away from this and maybe I'll go home and do something else. But he didn't let what had happened around him stop him from doing what God had called him to do. And so he continues to grow spiritually. And it says that the Lord was with him and that God blessed the words of his mouth. God didn't let anything that he was saying fall to the ground. It also became clear that Samuel had been established as a prophet among God's people from Dan to Beersheba. It wasn't like Samuel elevated himself or that Samuel promoted himself to be seen by people. This guy was happy and content just keeping the lamp going in the tabernacle, but God was the one that promoted him. God put the calling on his life. God raised him up and God gave him a message and God blessed the message that he preached. And that he proclaimed. And it was something that people knew. He was a prophet and he would be a judge in Israel. And I think probably one of the most wonderful things here is that it says in verse 21, the Lord revealed himself to Samuel. He grew in his relationship with the Lord. God revealed himself. You know how God reveals himself, guys? He reveals himself through his word. He has revealed who he is through his word. What a joy, what a privilege, what a blessing to be able to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of who God is. And this is how it happens, by reading your Bible, by getting to know the Lord. Samuel grew, God had his hand upon his life, and God has his hand upon your life.
Isn't that comforting? God has his hand on our lives, just as he did for Samuel. You're listening to a study from Pastor John Randall on A Daily Walk, and we thank the Lord that you're with us today. Did you know you can listen to A Daily Walk online at adailywalk.org? This comes in handy if you miss a study or two on the radio or would just like a replay. And sign up for our free podcast or church app so you can start receiving biblical encouragement on a regular basis. You can do so right there at adailywalk.org. And you can download our app from your favorite app store by searching for CCSJC. If you'd rather have a CD copy sent your way, that's available for a cost of just $5. We're here to help you at 888-253-1280. Again, that's 888-253-1280. It's always encouraging to hear from our listeners. The Lord deserves all the credit for anything good that comes from and through this ministry, and we're delighted to hear about it. Share a praise report or prayer request at adailywalk@gmail.com. That's our email address, adailywalk@gmail.com. Or call us toll-free at 888-253-1280. You're familiar with Pastor John Randall's teaching ministry here on A Daily Walk, but maybe you didn't realize the Lord has also gifted him musically. And not long ago, he went in a studio to record a 5-song worship EP called Joy.
You give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul.
The joy of the Lord is the gladness of heart that comes from knowing God, abiding in Christ, and being filled with the Holy Spirit.
I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are.
You can order the Joy EP on CD through our website for just $5 at adailywalk.org. Or call 888-253-1280. That's adailywalk.org or 888-253-1280. And anything given above that amount will serve to help us continue the ministry of A Daily Walk on this station and others like it. We hope and pray the Lord is exalted and you're encouraged as you sing along and worship with Pastor John Randall. If you've been blessed or helped in your daily walk as you've studied along with us, we'd appreciate your support. We continually look to the Lord to provide for us, and maybe he's prompting you to get involved. You can donate online at adailywalk.org or call 888-253-1280. We left off in 1 Samuel 4 a moment ago, so let's join Pastor John there now as we close.
Now Israel, it says, if you continue along, it says that Israel went out to battle against the Philistines and they encamped beside Ebenezer and the Philistines encamped in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in battle array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men of the army in the field. And when the people had come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, that when it comes among us, it may save us from the hands of our enemies." Although God was working in and through Samuel's life, the nation of Israel as a whole was still swept up in idolatry, and because of their disobedience to the word of the Lord, he was going to chasten them severely through their enemies. And one of their enemies was this violent, seafaring people that we're going to read about throughout 1 and 2 Samuel. They were the Philistines. And Israel's problems with the Philistines can actually be traced all the way back to the time of Abraham. Abraham's servants had dug wells, and the Philistines filled them up with dirt. Genesis 26 talks about it. There was just so many problems that had arisen with this particular group of people, and they would be a thorn in the side of Israel and a constant enemy to them in the days following in the record of 1 and 2 Samuel.
There's much more to come in our study of 1 Samuel. Join us tomorrow as we continue to look at Samuel's calling by God.